broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, welcome back. Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. You can't kill this show. So you most people try to emulate what we do, and they can't do that either. So basically, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. So just don't try it, okay?
Don't try it at home or anything.
Right, don't try it at home. Now, the big news today, big news for who, I'm not sure, but it's big news for eggheads like, big news for four-eyed eggheads like me, and that is the killing of Gaddafi. Now, some people right now are saying, well, that's big news for everybody, Phil. Well, no, it isn't. No, it's not big news for everybody. Some people could barely pronounce the guy's name. I'm talking about educated middle-class Americans. They don't, some of them don't, you know, they only like 3 weeks ago figured out who he was. No, no, no. Big news for people that recognize that the, you know, the changes that have taken place here internationally are pretty significant. And these are historic changes. These are changes that won't really be, the significance of them won't really be felt for many, many decades. So when I hear people say, yeah, Gaddafi's dead, but I still don't have a job and unemployment's really high and do, these are people that completely, utterly miss the point. They're missing the boat on so many different, I understand you need a job. I understand your life sucks. I get it, okay? But I got a newsflash for you. Guess what? You ain't all that's happening, pal. As bad as your life is, as lousy as the economy is, as crappy as the whole thing is, as bad as Obama is, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? That ain't the whole shooting match, man.
Well, it's all that matters to me.
Well, then you go right ahead and live your little insular life, and good luck to you, you know. You'll get a job, man. Don't worry about it. These are events that only happen once in a lifetime, once in a generation. What's happening in the Middle East, folks, is the same thing that happened when the Berlin Wall came down. Some people may laugh at that because the people that laugh at that don't want to face the reality of that. If they face the reality of that, they may have to face all kinds of things like, gee, maybe Bush was right. What's happened in the Middle East and what continues to happen in the Middle East is a continuation of what began with the collapse of the Berlin Wall. That is, these historic movements cannot be sustained. Communism, socialism, Marxist-Leninism, which was born in the middle of the 19th century, born of a completely different era, the Industrial Revolution, introduced into semi-feudal societies. There's no way you're going to democratize a society like that. All they knew is they had to get rid of the czar. They had to get rid of that guy. They don't know how they were going to do it or when they were going to do it, but they had to get rid of that guy because life just sucked. What were they going to do after that? We don't know. The unwieldy apparatus of democracy, was that going to work? Well, they went with this communist thing. Guy said, once we get rid of the czar, what do you want to do?
Probably because get rid of the czar, let's try communism and stuff.
Don't say that, man. So let's start a workers' paradise.
But whatever they said, communism. Whatever they said, that's what they done did. Now, that sucked, didn't work. Goodbye, see you later, communism is gone, and here comes daddy democracy. Well, all right, so it took them a little bit longer than us. America's revolution was born of a people so isolated from the rest of the world. I mean, we could just do our thing over here. We didn't have to hassle anybody on the borders trying to take advantage of us. We beat the British back to Europe, so we could pretty much do. We were very, very fortunate, and I don't even want to use the word fortunate. We were visionary people. Our ancestors were visionaries. They were visionaries. They said, you know, the only way for us to really do what we want, we got to get the hell out of here. You know, what do you mean? Get out of here. It stinks. We got all this cow crap in the street. Let's get out of here and let's go somewhere. Let's just get away from all of this. You know, when the pilgrims came over, I mean, England was in the midst of a civil war. England was in the middle of a civil war. Oliver Cromwell and all that. You heard of him?
Yeah, I think so. The guy was with... Well, I better not say.
What?
Is that the guy that was with Laurel?
Oliver Cromwell and Stan...
Did he say Cromwell and Laurel, man? Or Laurel and Cromwell said Oliver Cromwell?
That's what I thought, though.
No, he wasn't with Stan Laurel. I'm talking about the guy that ran. You don't even know, man, so forget it. Anyway, these are historic changes that are taking place. And what is going on in the Middle East? They're getting rid of now. They are throwing off the autocratic ruler, just as the people of Eurasia did with the Russian people, just as the people of Europe did, just as the German people did with the Kaiser and Hitler, just as the Italians did, just as all of the people of Europe did. They got rid of the monarchies. They got rid of the autocracies. They got rid of these ruling classes, just as they did in Mexico, just as they've done all over the world. In some countries, some parts of the world, they still hang on to this autocratic form of government, but they have to introduce the illusion of democracy. We give you China, where there's an illusion of democracy. The Chinese, you know, right now, they don't want to betray the revolution. The Chinese are still very, very loyal to Mao and to the Marxist-Leninist model. And, it saved their country as far as they're concerned. It was the one thing that they were able to hang on to that made China a preeminent nation again. You ain't going to get us to get rid of all those big pictures hanging there in Tiananmen Square. No how, man. No way. Why don't you Chinese get with it and go, we're not getting with enough, man. I got the picture of Mao. And, who the other guy? That the picture of Stalin? Yeah, picture of Stalin, too. Oh, come on, man. Look, see these? Brand spanking new Conan the Barbarian. Come on, man. How many you got, man? Well, yeah, but first you got to be Democrat. No, I don't want to. You know, so I got Conan the Barbarian, man. Come on, man. That's not fair. Conan the Barbarian. Woo! You, that's dirty poo. What do you mean dirty poor? Poo, I'd say. Dirty poo? You know, you yank, you love making fun of Chinese man accent. You making fun of Mao suit. You know, someday, man, I had the Olympics. I had people flying through the air. Oh, yeah, big time. Don't worry about it, man. I'm going to come over. I'm going to buy a condo in Shanghai. I'm going to tell you, this is the honest truth, because I've visited China. I've been in China. And I was in China before it was ever what it is today. I was in China in 1982 when it was still guys riding bicycles and eating a little, you know, out of a bowl of rice and sitting on a sidewalk and looking at the Yanks and going, well, say now, man, look at that nutty cat. You know, they're just so. But Shanghai was a gas because,
Shanghai, look, they had a bowling alley there. That's why you liked it.
True. I went bowling in Shanghai. Anyway, Shanghai is, well, I'll say it. Shanghai is very European looking. If you go to Beijing, at least when I was there, was a lot of little flat brick houses and stuff. Look too Chinese, look too barbarian. I didn't want to be around it. I'm kidding, but not really. So if I ever get the bread and I ever get the inclination, I'm not going to go to Hong Kong. You can take Hong Kong and jam it. Me, I'm going to Shanghai.
Yeah, what do they got over there, man? I mean, they got gambling stuff?
No, they don't have any of that stuff. It's just it's a cooler-looking town. Way cooler. I'm going to go to Hong Kong and do what? I'm going to eat some good food, go, you know, gamble a little bit. You know, so you're in this big glass and steel thing that's an island, you know, and it's real Asian, and that's a trip. I mean, if you really want to go somewhere and feel like you've landed on another planet, go to Asia, man.
Got to go Asian, man.
Go Asian, absolutely. And I swear to God, you have never seen it. You know, that movie, a lot of you guys saw it. I thought it was a great movie. Some people didn't like it. Lost in Translation. That movie captured exactly what it is to be in an Asian city, like in Japan or in China, where you can't read a sign. You know what it is to be illiterate because you can't. You don't know what, man. You don't know what it says. There ain't no way you're ever going to know what it says. No way. Everybody's staring at you just like you're staring at them. They think you're the weirdest damn thing they ever saw in their lives and vice versa. And the little Chinese or Japanese that you know, you burn that up in 2 seconds, and they're just, you know, they're looking you up and down like, you know, what's this? I wonder if this guy's got, I wonder if he's got a first-class ticket to L.A. on him. Anyway, so, and then you're looking at billboards. And
what about a Mickey Mouse billboard you saw?
I saw a Mickey Mouse billboard. It was almost like, you know, you took a hit of acid or something. I'm walking down the street, and I look up. Okay, this is what I saw, and you tell me, because I don't know what it was. This is exactly the billboard I saw. It was Mickey Mouse. The top of his head had been removed so that the ears were still there, but the top of the head is gone, and sticking up out of his skull is what looks like the top half of a television set, and he's smiling with his little gloved hand pointing at a whole bunch of Chinese writing. So, okay, so there's Mickey Mouse, like, out of the movie Hannibal, with his skull missing. He's got a TV set for a brain. His little gloved hand is pointing at all of this Chinese writing.
You know what it said?
No, man, I don't know what it said.
Couldn't make it out? Couldn't, like, sometimes you make out Spanish words.
No, I couldn't make it out. Do you understand? They don't use the ABC alphabet. Spanish words you can sort of make out, because the Chinese alphabet, it ain't like no alphabet you ever saw. Make it out. And I'm looking at Mickey Mouse with a TV head?
What did that mean?
I don't know. I never did find out. Probably there's... I don't know what it was. I have no idea if they were even, you know, if what they had on that billboard was even legal. Because, you know, Mickey Mouse is a copyright-protected image. I told... Did I ever tell you... I shouldn't... Well, I will. I had the opportunity to visit Matt Groening, who created The Simpsons, in his office once over there at Fox on Pico. And I was in his office, and he said to me, you got to look at this stuff. He collects all this bootleg stuff that's done. In other words, he collects these bootleg dolls, these Simpson dolls and Simpson mugs and Simpson cups and Simpson this and that, all this illegal stuff. And the biggest offending party of all is China, man. They don't give a damn about copyright, nothing. So they got Mickey Mouse everywhere. They got Minnie Mouse, you know.
But they have Minnie Mouse doing, I mean, I shouldn't say, but... Is she doing anything inappropriate? Because you could have her bend over with her underwear down.
Yeah, well, what are you thinking about that for, you freak? You gonna get hot about a nude mouse?
No, I'm... You know something? Never mind, man. I'm just gonna get pissed off. You know?
Okay, now wait a minute. Let's just calm down. Why did you bring up Minnie Mouse with her panties off? Then why, you know...
Yeah, why did you bring that up?
I'm just saying, they could have anything, they do anything. You understand what I'm saying? They could do anything to make it look bad.
And they do, and they do, and you're right, yes. That was just very weird that you would,
Yeah, he's talking about getting hot on a mouse. I'm gonna get hot about a mouse. You probably do. You probably, all you got is a certified mouse.
Yo, yeah, sure.
You guys shut up. All you got is satisfy a mouse. All right, so, there you have it, folks. China and all of that. All right, I think we have Chris Norton coming up to talk with us about the TSA solicits passengers for pre-check program. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. If you want to, listen to the show, let's see, you want to listen to the show and watch a video feed of the show, you can do that at philhendryshow.com. We have a story here on the Transportation Security Administration, which anytime you bring up the name of the Transportation Security Administration, you know, people have mixed feelings about that. Generally, it's a negative thing because we just don't like those. We feel it's a very intrusive and unnecessary entity. I personally got a lot of patience for them. Forgive me if I'm not all smiley and happy, because here's the thing. The TSA is not all smiley and happy when they meet me, you know. And so I'm not all smiley and happy when I meet them. But I'll tell you this much, TSA. If you tell me that the bottle of mouthwash that I have in my bag is too big, you can take it and you can throw it across the street. You can have it yourself. I don't give a damn. You don't have to give me a whole big explanation. I understand that there are people that give you a fight and an argument. I say to those people, you're an idiot. You shouldn't have packed the big damn bottle. And I understand that there are people that, you know, make mistakes hither and thither. Me, I'm easy. If the TSA says, oh, you know, sir, that this is a... Yeah, take it and stick it up your you-know-what. I don't care. I don't want to sit and have a conversation with you. I don't want to look at you any longer than you want to look at me. I'm done. Thank you. Goodbye. I'm out of here. I'm a ghost. So I do respect and understand that they are necessary. I cooperate. But I have the same relationship with TSA that they have with me, which is they are just machines that are doing their machine job, just as they see me as a machine trying to smuggle bombs and switchblade knives. Now, on the line with me is Chris Norton from Redondo Beach. He works for a pharmaceutical company, and Chris also writes a political blog. He's running for a state senate office here in the state of California. He is sometimes adult actor, adult movie actor, as well as a producer and director of adult films. Chris, welcome to the show. Truthfully, you've never really been a producer or director of adult films, have you been?
I've appeared, as an actor in some adult films. I am aspiring, eventually be, do my own directing, yeah. So, I mean, is there a movie out there that says, directed by Chris Norton? No.
Where are you right now?
Right now I'm just at a jazz, Friends Jazz Club, listening to some jazz. I don't know if you're into jazz or not, but jazz has really been happening lately, and I'm here with friends, and we're just sort of kicking out this is jazz. But that's the last thing I like to do.
Chris, you are a pharmaceutical salesman, right?
Yes, sir. I'm working at a telemarketer.
You're a telemarketer, and so you do telephone sales.
That's correct, yeah.
Tell me, you must be successful.
Well, I'm very good at it because I've been told that I have, a good speaking voice, and I'm very blessed in that I am very good looking. I've been picked out by just people who's doing a magazine. Say there's a guy doing a magazine, and I've been picked out off the street. Somebody say, just take a picture of him. So I've had my picture in lots of magazines, and also because I have. I don't really think I do, but a lot of people tell me I have a very sensitive voice, so I will call up and talk to a lot of businesses who, want to get, pen and pencil sets at pharmaceuticals, and I talk kind of sassy, but my specialty is talking to the ladies,
So you're good-looking, and you have a very attractive speaking voice. You have a low voice, and the women find that attractive?
If I'm talking to the owner of a business who is a female, a lot of times you'll, think I'm sassy, and I think there's a sort of sexual energy that you'll put off, and I have sass, I'm not having sass with them, but, I do have a sexuality that's quite evident there, but right now I'm just with some friends, and we'll probably, this club is a private club, it's a jazz club, so we're sitting, laying on some pillows here, and it's very casual, and it's very California casual, if you know what I mean by that. And so, as I'm laying here sipping on a cocktail, what I'm drinking right now is a daiquiri, a banana daiquiri. One of my female friends is, having sex, she's sexually pleasing me right now. And
where are you, man? You in a club?
This is a private club. And there's lots of pillows on the floor, and we're laying on the floor. It's a linoleum floor, but they got pillows. And
what am I hearing? Is that a live band?
Yeah, that's a live band. Yeah, and the people here are invited. You don't have to, but they're invited to have sex.
And so there's people openly having sex in this club that you're in?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you say openly having sex, I mean the sex they're having is clean. It's septic sex. It's septic. I mean, there's nothing on. I mean, it's antiseptic, is what I mean. Antiseptic?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Antiseptic. Antiseptic, Seth. Well, that's what they're having, though, is Seth.
Yeah, okay. So you're good with that. All right, I understand, man. I didn't know that that's where you were. I wanted to talk to you about the TSA, right?
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
What is your feeling on these pre-checks? And why, by the way, are we talking to you? Forgive me for asking, but Bud said that he got a guest and...
I wrote a blog about the opportunities available to a lot of, people who are over-sess and want to continually have sess that's dangerous to a lot of people. In this pre-check program, there's a lot of interest and rave reviews that's rolling out the TSA pre-check program that what you can do is you can, we encourage the TSA is encouraging passengers that fly out of Boston's Log Airport on American Airlines or Detroit's Metro.
What do you mean Log Airport?
What's that?
What, Boston's Logan Airport, right?
Not really. From what I understand, it's called Log Airport.
No, it's Logan Airport. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry show with Chris Norton here on the TSA pre-check. I don't know.
What?
He sucks as a guest, man. I don't know.
Phil Hendry.
No, it says right here, Log Airport.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're just going to continue for just a few more minutes the discussion we're having here with young Chris Norton, a telemarketer from Redondo Beach. He's also written a blog on TSA soliciting solicits passengers for its pre-check program, which apparently has been going swimmingly, very, very successful. Whether or not this will continue, we'll see. You seem to think that there's an opportunity here for abuse, Chris, right?
I do, Mr. Henry,
Can I interrupt you? You're at a club, a private jazz club, where you're laying on pillows on the floor, and you said that there was a woman...
to put it in the most, in the most not dirty way, I'm being sassed right now.
You're being sexed.
Yes, sir. And there's a varying amount of sass that's going on right now. I mean, you have to understand, when you're as handsome as I am, as good looking as I got a lot of accessible energy that goes on, a lot of women are going to, want to assess it. And so that's kind of what's going on right now. And but I want to assure you, I can still be on the radio, interviewed by you. I'm very relaxed, though. You know, I hope I don't sound too relaxed.
You're very. I didn't get the word.
I'm very relaxed.
You're very relaxed.
Yeah, I just hope I'm not too relaxed. You know, but right now, but I can do an interview with you and your listeners and still have sex at the same time.
Okay, great. So, what is your concern?
You don't believe me, do you?
Mr. Norton, I got to tell you, I don't care. That's fine. You didn't need to bring it up.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right. Whether I believe you or not, I don't... What is your opinion of this TSA pre-check program?
Well, I think there's room for abuse, because you have people who are successfully active and want to find a way to have even more sex, and now you encourage a pre-check designed to reduce wait times at airport checkpoints. Okay, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to want to do that. Passengers who volunteer information with the program would not have to be checked exactly the same way as other passengers. Well, that's what they say. But I think that if people want to be in a pre-check program, anybody who is accessible pervert is going to want to be in the TSA, because this presents an opportunity for the perv to successfully compromise a person what's traveling.
And well, what could they conceivably do? If they're taking advantage of passengers that want to do a pre-check, it says they're not going to be checked the same way.
No, but that doesn't... When you say you're not going to check someone the same way, that doesn't automatically mean that you're not going to do some kind of either a finger probe or you could do a hand probe. And you know what I mean by that?
No, I don't, and I don't really want to know. You're telling me that while they say they won't be checking people the same way, the different way they'll be checking them could still be invasive?
Yes, absolutely. And again, I think the TSA is... I'm talking on the radio right now, okay? So could you stop using your teeth? Thank you.
I don't need to hear you giving instructions, all right?
I'm sorry, but she's... Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, that was really awesome. Yeah. Yeah. It's very chill here, but, you know. I'm on the radio right now. On a Phil Henry. On a Phil Henry.
Okay, Chris?
I'm sorry.
All right, so you were telling me that this still prevents an opportunity for some people who may be perverts to join the TSA and use this pre-screen program to sexually take advantage of people.
That is my fear, yeah. That's my fear. Because, again, if you want to get check in really fast and get on your aircraft, then you will want to use the early check-in process. Use the early check-in process if you have accessible deviancy. If there's a deviant or there is someone who is accessibly deeped, then you are going to be at the beck and call of the deev. And
what do you mean, deev? Can we speak some English here?
I'm sorry, the deviant. It's like when you say perv, it's church pervert.
No, I understand that, but I'm not familiar, and I need to. You're difficult to understand. I tell you what, sir. I'm going to take a phone call here. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to RC. RC, go ahead.
I wanted to just say that this guy that you have on the program right now, Phil, I wanted to ask him a couple of questions if I could, because I think that he's probably just saying stuff because he wants to do it too.
What do you mean? I mean,
what I mean is that I think you want to touch. I mean, you're talking about laying on the floor and having somebody using their teeth and everything. You're laying on the floor on some pillows and everything.
Well, yeah, that laying on the floor. I'm doing this is a jazz club, okay? And the jazz club I'm in, everybody's here voluntarily.
Yeah, I know, but it just sounds really weird that you're laying on the floor and you're having sex talking to Mr. Henry, and you're saying that the TSA is going to invite perps in and deeps. And by the way, Mr. Henry, I know what a deev is. It's a term that we're familiar with at our military academy, which is where we are.
Okay, I mean, just to ask you a question, you're a military academy, right?
What?
I say you're at a military academy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I don't want to say nothing, but why couldn't I just say that you, because you're at a military academy, that you are, you know, there's an opportunity for deeps.
What do you mean? Like the teachers here are deeps? The teachers we've got are
God, spit it out, man.
No, the teachers we've got here are military people. They're retired military. We have captains and colonels and everything. And we have our commandant wireman, and these are not deeps. These are four. You're sick, man. To me, you sound gay, you know?
Well, yeah, I sound gay. You're the guy that's at a military academy. And you say about, you know, being taught by deeps.
I didn't say that I'm being taught by a deev. I said that you are a deev and that you're trying to make it look like other people are so you can join the TSA.
Excuse me, but I'm not trying to join a TSA. I've got a career as a pharmaceutical sales as well as someday being a director of movies, okay?
Well, you're not going to be a director in no movies if you're laying around on the floor at some nasty jazz club. Well, some girl is just all, you know, like doing a Dracula on you.
You know, Mr. Henry, I have...
Yeah, thanks a lot, kid, okay?
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, I was just trying to say, this guy...
All right, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I thought his questions and his comments might have been worthwhile for a moment there until he began to get a little offensive.
Well, I think the point there... Certainly for me was he's talking about being, you know, we call he's a you know,
military academy cadet.
Yeah, military academy cadet or military academy cadet, military academy command, a military academy command. Well, I forget. What? Yeah, that's great. That's Todd Sewell on saxophone. That was great, man. What's your question?
Sir, you know, you need to listen to me.
No, I know. I mean,
so listen to me, okay? Whether Todd Sewell is on the saxophone.
you're laughing, sir, but Todd Sewell, I've known Todd Sewell all my life, and he's Todd, Steve, Dave, and Rick are all very good friends of mine, and they all play, you know, various different horns, if you'll, you know, making a joke, but...
Okay, that's real great. All right, so... Your blog on the TSA, you see people, I don't even know why I'm talking to you. Have you ever flown, have you ever been a pilot?
No, sir.
Have you ever worked for an airline?
No, sir.
Have you ever worked for the TSA?
No, I have not.
Have you been a baggage handler? Have you been a,
No, sir.
Have you ever worked at the gate?
No.
A flight attendant?
No, sir.
So why am I even talking to you?
I don't know. I mean, I called up your show last night. I talked to this Bud Lee Dickman, is that his name?
Yeah.
And he said, do you write blogs? I go, yeah, I do sometimes. I mostly write about Seth. He goes, write a blog about the TSA and we'll put you on air.
Bud, you're an idiot, okay?
Oh, I said, would you write a blog about TSA? And you said, yeah, you would.
Well, yeah, that's what I said.
I didn't tell him to.
Well, what kind of a guest is this? Write a blog about the TSA, we'll have you on. He doesn't know anything about this any better than anybody else. And who cares about their pre-check program? Thank you very much, Chris. It's been edifying, okay?
Well, I just want to say one thing, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
I think the bad impression was given about me laying around on a floor being cessed. I mean, I'm not being cessed. I can be on the radio, and that kid really was unfair when he said this place is nasty and filthy. It's way better than it was. It used to be. The floor used to have grime on it. But nowadays...
Right. Thanks very much, and we'll be checking back with you, Chris, hopefully not really too often. So I'm talking to that guy about the TSA. Why?
Yeah, what's that all about?
He called up and I said, do you write a blog? He goes, yeah, I write a blog about sex. And I go, do you write a blog about TSA? He goes, yeah. I go, okay, then be on a show.
He said, yeah? Did you read it?
No.
But are we so hard up for guest man that this cat, some guy that just calls the show last night and claims that he wrote a blog about the TSA, all he wanted to do was get on the air and talk about being in his sex club.
Well, he's talking more about laying on a floor.
He said he was laying in some private sex club. Man, I'm telling you, that was beautiful. The guy's talking to me and he tells the chick, quit using your teeth. I'm on the air right now. Quit using your teeth.
Are you kidding me, man? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he said that. Thanks a lot, Bud. Boy, every time you contribute to this show, I can be sure of one thing. The standards and the morals and the basic decency of the program right through the floor.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like, I'm the cause of that. All I said to the guy was to come on you know what I said.
Yeah, I know what you're telling me you said. I don't know that you actually said that. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to be back with the final segment. Oh, we're going to be back as well to tell you how you can win a free month, a free backstage pass month on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. That's right, one whole month for free. We're giving it away every month. I'll tell you the details when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We were just showing some baseball fights on our Phil TV in HD. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and of course we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Now, would you like to win a free one-month pass to our website? That means you have a free one-month access to our website. You can go onto the website. You can listen to thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of material. You can watch our nightly video cast for free. You can watch the video cast archives. You can go in and take a look at all the other archives that we have, assorted bits of material and character clips and all kinds of stuff that goes back for many, many years. And you can do it all for free if you win a free pass. And here's what you do. We're going to do a drawing at the end of every month. In fact, we're going to have a drawing soon for, I don't know if we're going to have a full month yet. We're going to do a drawing for the month of November. And so I'd like you guys to get in on that month. Generally, we'll start our drawing for the next month, you know, a month prior. But we've just formulated this brilliant idea. So here's what you do. Go to our Facebook page, our Facebook fan page, which is facebook.com/PhilHendryFans. That's fans spelled P-H-A-N-S, Phil Hendry, fans. And like the page. That's it. You're entered if you like the page. And we will do a drawing, like I say. Now, if you've already liked our fan page, you can go to Twitter. And go to twitter.com/PhilHendryShow and enter this hashtag, which is simply PHS. Just hashtag that there at Phil Hendry Show on Twitter, and that will enter you in the drawing. We'll draw one winner for the forthcoming month of November for a free month of listening on the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. So good luck, and after we get off the air here tonight. Bud, have you been checking it?
Not really. I mean, I know... Didn't know which one to do it.
What do you mean you didn't know which one to do it?
Well, you didn't know. What, you go to Twitter?
You go to both of them, bud.
Oh.
Go to the Phil Hendry fan page on Facebook, which is Phil Hendry Show. It's Phil Hendry Fans. Okay? Facebook.com/PHILHENDRIEPHANS. Or you go to Twitter.com/... Phil Hendry Show, and you enter that hashtag. Now, if you do not enter the hashtag on Phil Hendry Show, you're not going to be considered for the drawing. If you don't like the Phil Hendry Fans fan page, you're not going to be considered for the drawing. And the reason why I say that is there's like 9 million different places you can go to, 9 million different fan pages and stuff, and we have only one official one, so that's where that's at. Do it. And we'll let you know how things are going. We'll have a drawing toward the end of the month for a brand new 1 month free backstage pass. Okay. So just like a latest study on cell phones and cancer finds no link. Do you want me to read that? Okay. Or are we all on the same page? Latest study on cell phones and cancer finds no link. Just way too much information, folks. We are buried in information and we think all of it is true. We think all of it is true. Don't give me this stuff about how we are discriminating and intelligent, and if you'll just give us the truth, then by God, we'll figure it out. Yeah, we do, but not after we make all kinds of mistakes. Oh, my God, did you hear the latest? They say that this, that, and something else. The red dye and the M&Ms and everything else. Now we have, the cancer and cell phone link. Well, the latest study says it's horse dung. In fact, here it is. Danish researchers can offer some reassurance. If you're concerned about your cell phone, don't worry. Your device is probably safe. The biggest study ever to examine the possible connection between cell phones and cancer found no evidence of any link, suggesting that billions of people who are rarely more than a few inches from their phones have no special health concerns. All those concerns were horse dung, according to the Danes.
They said horse dung.
No, they didn't, okay? But
that'd be so cool if they did, though.
You think the Denmark said that?
Who?
Did Denmark say that?
This is a Danish, Denmark study.
They say horse dung, what it is in Denmark speak.
What do you mean Denmark speak? What do you think it's called?
What is it?
It's Danish, ain't it?
I don't know.
I think it's Danish. I think they have Danish.
You mean Danish like the language?
Yeah, I think there's such a language as Danish. There's Dutch. There's Danish. There's Belgium. Belgian is French, but it's weird, man. It's like Portuguese is to Spanish. It's just kind of off a little bit, you know. All kinds of it's so kooky that so many people could live so closely together for so many thousands of years and come up with so many different languages, you know.
Well, how come that happened?
Well, there's only one explanation. And that is that there were geographic barriers. And if you look at Europe, there's a lot of geographic barriers. As small as that place is, and Europe is very small compared to the other expanses of this planet, but Europe is rich in resources, it was rich in game, and it was rich in all kinds of crops that people could grow. So that's why Europe became such a popular place for people to move to. You know,
it's like back in the Ice Age, you go to move to Europe.
Well, it was kind of the place to go for the human race. Once the human race figured it all out, it went, I'm going to go to Europe. Why? All kinds of stuff there. And there's other places, but, you know, to get to them was going to be tough, like North America. But North America wasn't even as good as Europe. North America wasn't even close as good as Europe. Europe had it all. It had game. It had food. It had water. It had fish. But the reason why I think all these different languages sprung up is because there were these natural boundaries that people just didn't, they had a difficult time traversing, or they didn't want to traverse. The Alps separating Italy from the rest of Europe, all the rivers, the Pyrenees Mountains separating Spain from France, the Channel separating France and the rest of continental Europe from England. So there were just enough of these natural geographic boundaries where cultures sprung up isolated to a degree. And so the languages were slightly different.
Yeah, that's... How do you know? You're not even no historian.
Who asked me?
What?
Who asked me the question?
You did.
I asked me the question?
Yeah.
No, you did, man.
You asked him. No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. I wouldn't have gone off and talked about it if you hadn't... Get out of here. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft, Phil Henry, Fred Scotty, and Chris Johnson each and every night. And we thank you for being with us. Also, join us at philhenryshow.com. Don't forget to like us at facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, PHANS, or hashtag PHS at twitter.com/PhilHenryShow, Phil Henry Show. Until tonight, this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Everybody.
Get off the phone, bud. Don't fool around with that.
Everybody, get off the phone, man. Yeah.
Phil Henry.